I've got Dan Jackson back on the show. He is the head coach and owner of the Grid team, the Gainesville Wild. Dan and I go way back. He's been on the show several times, and he just finished his season. And I wanted to touch base with him and just go over the season, the state of his team, the state of his mentality, the state of Grid. If you're not familiar with Grid, we'll get into that a little bit, but it is a very electric, high-paced, if it can be even more faster-paced than CrossFit, it is, team CrossFit-type workout competition. It's very entertaining, and so tune into this, and let's see what Dan has to say. Let's get on with it.
Okay. Bonus flag is thrown. Three,
Nine inch ring. The
player's
gonna have to beat
it. We are going to get more points on this because you guys are fucking amazing. Pedals complete to the floor. We're gonna blow out the fucking engine. Finish on three. One, two, three.
Finish it.
By your background, we'll zoom out a little bit. Gainesville Wild. You got the shirt too. Look at that. Bam.
I'd wear it backwards. It says "Die for Dan" on the back because that was the logo or the motto of the team this year or the
Die
family.
For Dan.
Yeah, I didn't really like it, but they were quite persistent.
Okay.
With it. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
It was pretty cool. I mean, it's very humbling, in my opinion, to have a group of adults have somebody who's ultimately younger than most of them. They say that, and it's like, well, stop
it. You're younger than most of the teammates?
Younger than or right on the same age.
Okay, I got you.
But that's pretty normal, honestly.
Okay.
With the sport of Grid. Like, a lot of the coaches are about the same age or a little younger.
It makes sense.
Yeah. It's like, especially back in the day when they had a master's. It was required to have a master's athlete back when Grid League was bro.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It kind of levels some of the playing field.
Kind of. However, when you meet some of these masters athletes, example, like the former head coach of the Miami Surge, he was 46 and he was deadlifting 650.
Yeah, you got the old man strength.
But he was built like a damn orangutan, like long ass arms, that round, just the ideal anatomical body for deadlifting.
An orangutan, it's funny.
Dude, he could scratch his knee standing up. Like, no joke. His arms were that long. His fingers are really long. Like, he could probably hook grip an axle bar. And he's a professor of neuroscience here in Gwinnett.
Wow. And a strong mofo.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny.
Well, man, I wanted to hear about, you just wrapped up your season with Gainesville Wild. Mm-hmm. You're the head coach and the owner of the team.
Yeah.
Which is how are the other teams structured? Are there any like head coach owners?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's kind of,
it's that way pretty much with every single
okay
team right, right now. And some of them are head coach, owner, and player, like Taylor Stallings.
Ah, I got you. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's, before we dig in there, can you give like the 2 or 3 minute reprisal of like, what is Grid for all the people who
I
are
had
like
this memorized
hell?
At one point. It's constantly varied functional movement performed at height. No, that's just...
wait. <that's> the...
So Grid kind of takes the concepts of like American Ninja Warrior football mentality or football approach to family and explosiveness and the athletic performance, as well as like the team dynamic, quote unquote performance. And elements of very similar elements of CrossFit, and you kind of put it together in a race down an 80-foot grid floor. And when I say grid floor, there are four quadrants. You have the start, well, the start and the finish line, both are 10 feet long by 20 feet wide. And then quadrant one is 20 feet by 20 feet, quadrant two, 20 by 20, et cetera, et cetera, quadrant three, four. And you have a home and an away, a red and a blue side. And in the middle between those two grid floors is the pull-up rig that's going to have rings, ropes, a little board on the hand for handstand push-ups. And it's a very similar set. I mean, hopefully some of the people listening to this were a part of the Grid 6 that we did in 2019. Mm-hmm. at Cottontown CrossFit.
Right, right.
And that's the setup is very similar. But the biggest thing, it's a team sport.
Right.
So you have two teams.
Mm-hmm. So CrossFit does have team. Mm-hmm. They do have teams, but this is completely different.
This is just teams. You are just teams. Teams of on the roster, you can have, I believe, up to 19 or 20. We had 15. you can have five active men. Yeah, five active men, five active women, and two substitutes for each, and one wild card. Think of the wild card as kind of like the libero in volleyball. However, the wild card for grid can only come in twice the whole match.
Okay.
So there's 11 races across the match. You have partner forward, the mirror, and you have a sprint relay. Oh, wow. That's the last one. Hold on. Let's start over.
You got him in order. Okay.
Partner forward, the mirror. The first what's called ringer point, that's a 1v1.
Okay. And
then you have, so that can be a strength, utility, or body weight element, which that's the greatest part about grid, in my opinion, is you have people that can excel in what they're the best at. You don't have to do everything. Right. You can be a body weight specialist, so like a gymnast, American Ninja Warrior dude, parkour, whatever. one of those calisthenic crazy people that do like 87,000 bar muscle ups on the kindergarten playground. That's not meant to be insulting. Those are just the videos I'm aware of. And those guys really going nuts on that, doing all those strict bar muscle ups. But the utility piece is what you would expect. So an example for like a utility ringer point would be a 40-foot handstand walk, 300-pound clean and jerk, and then run off the grid floor.
Oof.
That would be for the guys. The girls' weight, I believe, is 205.
Right.
225. I can't remember.
It's still pretty heavy.
I think it's 205. Yeah, it's heavy.
Yeah.
And then, but there's the other elemental pieces for utility would be like 12, 36-inch box jumps or box jump overs for dudes, 30-inch for women. And then sprint down the grid floor and do eight clusters at, I believe it was 185 for guys and 125 for girls. And it could be in those things, it could be a guy versus girl, not just a girl versus guy. Or I'm sorry, not just a guy versus guy or a girl versus girl.
Got you.
So after that first ringer point, you have the echo, which is two races. Echo one, echo two, same race, co-ed. Then the ladder, which is the one that everybody loves to watch. It's just eight barbells, four on each side, four on the guy's side, four on the girl's side. All the movements change. Then you have the second ringer point race. So the first ringer point race is home. We get to choose. Home team gets to choose. The second ringer point, the away team chooses.
Okay.
And after that, you have Jack and Jill. Jack and Jill is the bodyweight elements. And then you have the female triad, which you have three women going at the same time throughout the given elements. Male triad after that, and then the sprint relay, which the sprint relay is just that. It's a super relay.
That's the funnest part.
It really is, man. It is. Dude, we got to put a link in this just to show. I can send you. There's a little 3-minute video of what is Grid League.
Awesome.
Yeah, it showcases all of it, and it's better than the one that we made in 2019 for the AGL.
Okay.
But that's the – oh, it took 3 minutes and 48 seconds.
It's still a pretty good job. So talk me through – talk me through real quick, because I want to get to the point where we recap your season. That's the reason you're here. But this thing went from Florida to the Atlantic Grid League, and now it's back to Florida?
Kind of. So
it like expanded and contracted a bit, right?
It did, but it's actually expanded well beyond.
Okay.
So here's the badass part, honestly. So you were in a lot of communication with me when I was co-running the AGL.
Right.
When the AGL, back then it was the Florida Grid League, the Atlanta Grid League was up and coming, then the East Grid League, which was up in New England.
Okay.
That one faltered before. The AGL, that one was also due to COVID quarantine, just like us.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, like quarantine just took all the wind out of my sails to continue the AGL, but for it did contract into the FGL a little bit. However, that was the first year, 2020, December of 2020, we did what's called an AS1 tournament. And that was four grid matches across a weekend.
Ooh.
So a doubleheader Sunday, Saturday, and
That's
Sunday.
That's how you do it, yeah.
Dude, those guys were wrecked. I mean, I for bet. Those who don't for those who don't know, the grid intensity, it's like running a 100-meter dash, but you're only allowed to do burpees and they're weighted and you have to go as actually not even 100 meters, it's like a 50-meter dash, full send, yeah. full effort across 11 races.
Yeah, I think I think that's it. Full send. I think that's a great description.
It's
like full send.
You don't hold back.
Yeah.
Like, there's no pacing in grid except for the triads. And you know, if we ever want to get into the details of the races, I can. But
right.
Anyway, we had a couple players get injured during that. However, that was the first year that the Florida Grid League actually, like, it was Florida Grid League, yes. But there were people. Seven of our players were from Texas. And we had another one from Arkansas. She is a retired professional strongwoman. Like she would go to the Arnold and compete, and she would go internationally and compete. And then we had a professional bowman and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So even though it kind of contracted into the Florida, back into the Florida Grid League, it honestly wasn't. It was at its near most expansion point because there were people from outside the state, far outside the state, coming to play. Because in the following season, there were a lot more people from outside the state that were coming to play. We're talking Minnesota, New York, North Carolina, Washington State.
Mm.
And this past season, we had New Mexico, upstate New York, Virginia, and our first international player. I believe he was from Brazil. He was on the Aces.
Oh,
so like
legit.
The amateur level grid league is now, yes, it's the Florida Grid League, but it's expanded internationally. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I get that. Like, I mean, it kind of like geographically expanded, came back together. Now it's a little bit better because of certain things, and you're pulling some of those people from all over the different places into the one, I'm going to say smaller single league, and I can see where that's much better.
Yeah.
Your quality over quantity is always something I like to see in things, first and foremost, over just, you know, more shit, kind of like MCU and Star Wars.
Yeah.
I want to see less, but better.
You're doing too much. You got to do less.
Yeah, come on, guys.
You got to do more than that.
So you found yourself this year as head coach, and then you found yourself as owner.
Mm.
And we covered that story last time we talked a little bit, and it literally is finding yourself in that position, I think.
Yeah, hey, that's what happened.
Hey, you now own this team. What?
Yeah.
But what's so cue me up. So what was one of the first things you did? So you were like, oh shit, I have this team. What am I gonna do? We had a season coming up.
I had to find female athletes.
Oh, that's interesting. That's not where I thought it would go first.
Yeah. Well, it first started, honestly, with getting Griffin Raleigh. He was the first one to sign.
Mm-hmm.
Griffin, for those who don't know, is an absolute animal. He's considered to be the world's strongest across the blanketed information of strength tests in CrossFit. He's the world's strongest. He's going to Dubai in a couple weeks to compete, and he doesn't seem to think he'll win, but I'm going to call bullshit. He's in very good shape. He's very strong. He feels weak, comparatively speaking, but you know, when you're weak and you're snatching 340 pounds,
you're not weak, bro.
Yeah. And
I think we're using that term weak. I mean, he's feeling
not it's relative, like
he can
right?
perform. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's like Eddie Hall, you know, he can deadlift 1,000 pounds at any given time.
Yeah.
He feels weak because he's only able to pull 850.
Right. He'll show up.
Yeah. So getting Griffin was actually, that's not true. I don't think Griffin was our first. Well, either way, he was one of the first.
Right.
but then it was, okay, I got to find female athletes, and here's my standards.
Right.
And my number one standard, honestly, was you got to understand family dynamic. They have to understand. They really have to understand that. One, I'm going to cover everything I possibly can.
Yeah.
Two, for me to do that, you have to meet these family dynamic standards I'm asked you to do. We're going to stay in the same place together. We're going to ride together. Like, I rented a van, Gene, every single match.
Huh.
Like one of those Mercedes Sprinter rental vans.
Going back to OG with the bus travel.
Honestly, yeah, man, because like it drove me nuts the past 3 years. Everybody's staying in a different spot.
Right.
Multiple locations, having to communicate all the damn time. Like, people going to different places because they didn't want to be with the team. It's like, no, that's not how a team dynamic works. Well, maybe it's how a team dynamic works, but I didn't fucking want a team dynamic. I wanted a family dynamic.
I think that's an interesting point because you are – it's a team sport made up of CrossFit. I mean, essentially CrossFitters.
Yeah, they do CrossFit for
I mean, you've got other – but, you know, I'm thinking of the mindset. But that is a very – I mean, you can see it even in the team version of the CrossFit games. Like, it is a very individualized thing,
right? A lot of times, yeah. It's kind of like
one-to-one.
It's kind of like being on a swim team and you're on a relay, or track team and you're being on a relay. It's like,
right.
Individually, you're great, but you're only ever going to be as great as your weakest.
Right.
And if you perform as an individual within a team, you're always going to fail. And if you perform while getting on to your brothers and sisters, your metaphorical brothers and sisters, you're always going to fail.
Yeah. Like,
as hippie and as hippy dippy as it sounds, like, no, we communicate via love, and it's hard love. Everyone's going to have a good time. Everyone's going to have a blast, but you're going to do your job.
Yeah.
You're not going to do your job. You need to fix what you're doing.
Yeah.
Or you will be replaced. And the way we do that is based off like data collection. I did via data collection, but I feel I'm straying away from like the point here. I had, circling it back to what I first did with creating the team, was Justin and Meg Adams. They were the original foundation of what I wanted to center the team around. Mm. And that foundation being, I love, but it's going to be like, we're all going to have the same values. We're all going to appreciate each other, and we're gonna we had a grid camp in April,
mm-hmm.
and we kind of solidified everything based off of like the relationship pieces.
Like, if anybody goes back and watches the last podcast I did with Dan, you're gonna see he's literally sitting outside, I think, of like you were gonna start the very next day or something like that. Like, you were sitting outside of the building.
Yeah, it was at CrossFit Dwella, and we were gearing up for the camp. It was right around the time. It was either the day of or the weekend before.
Something like that.
Yeah. But Griffin was there. Corey was inside training, and so was Geronimo. but this camp, we did a little – Meg led this. It was a little exercise in which everybody went around and said what they needed to say to be seen, valued, and heard.
Okay.
In order to like, and when all that shit was met, we just took off. And with some of the athletes on the team for the season, I had an hour long conversation over the phone because I'm that picky with who was going to be on the team. Like,
sure.
I invested a lot of my wife's money into this team. And unfortunately I got zero return on investment.
Sure.
Negative $24,000 for those wondering. Sure. but the risk, that high risk, it was well worth it. One, from a networking standpoint for my other jobs. And two, it's going to get the grid league to explode again like it wasn't, like it had in the past. Which, I mean, we were, before the season even started, we had top five engagements over CrossFit Games, Wadapalooza, and Dubai.
Hmm.
We had more engagements than those three things.
Okay.
And this was in February,
right,
last year. So now it's just gotten even higher ever since the addition of some stout athletes, one of them being international on the Aces. The Aces bringing their dynamic together the way they were. And then also we had a fantasy league this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Grid League has a fantasy grid league where you can win money.
Interesting.
And win product, sponsorship okay. product.
All right.
And I don't know. I Grid, honestly, it's one of the most difficult sports I've ever had to try to understand.
Yeah. I mean, we did, it was, you know, beginner level one, you know, like try it out level here in Columbia. You're talking about that 2019.
Yeah.
It was quite, we had, I mean, just us like messing around with it. We had probably like six different practices, and I still feel like we didn't get it quite right in terms of, you know, the proper preparation. It is complex, and you do absolutely need people with some specializations.
Yeah.
To kind of fall in. And I quite enjoy it. I think there's a chess game aspect to it as well as just a total, like just physical, you just got to go ham as well.
100% agree with you on that.
I kind of dig it.
One thing I've had to learn, I learned this year was, you know, we're never going to be able to control what the opposition does. We only have to put together what we know we can do best and then adjust from there while keeping into consideration or taking into consideration some of what the opposition, you know, will do. So Gene, you hit the nail on the head. It's 100% a chess match. And then a lot of it, not a lot of it, but then that chess match can lead to a gamble, big gamble.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we, you know, like I said, we were like, you know, below amateur beginner level one, like what is a barbell level? Trying to figure this thing out. And what I noticed was like, and we, you know, we were just like, hey, what do you do? What do you do? And we just went through the, trying to run the different scenarios of the different, what do you call them? Like
their elements,
meets, elements, elements. That's what it's called. But what I realized now is we should have done some basic testing, just like some basic, like, you know, what you would do in the CrossFit gyms, some basic testing to see who was good at what. Because I did realize we'd put some people like, hey, you're not so great at deadlifts, but you're doing all the deadlifts, you know, simply True. Because you were standing there and it was your turn, you know,
which is honestly okay to do. Like when people know their job, that's when they do it. Yeah. And that's when they have to do it. And they right. either choose to do it or not. And on the grid floor, you choose to do it.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it's a game of, it's a chess game. Yes. But it's even more, it's the biggest piece and most important piece is communication. Like, oh shit. Like, no, you put me in this, but I can't do it. All right. Then we have to adjust.
Yep.
So an example of that honestly was, our most recent match against our penultimate match. It was against the Brigade. One of our athletes, she went out there for the triad. She was doing the first three elements, which is overhead squat, toe to bar. I'm sorry. She did elements 1, 3, and 4, overhead squats, dumbbell pistols, and ring muscle-ups. And she gets out there. She does her overhead squats, tags out, goes back, gets tagged back in, goes, does her pistols, hops up on the rings. She does one ring muscle-up and drops down because she was supposed to do all five, but she felt a twinge in her neck.
Yeah.
And so she dropped down, looked at me and said, I'm sorry, and ran off the grid floor. I was like, what just happened? Yeah. But because of how we, because of our family foundation, one of the ladies went out there and finished them out and finished the match, finished
right.
the race.
Right.
Like that was
in and out,
but it wasn't supposed to happen, but we adjusted on the fly. So like, that's a scenario where it's like from a chess standpoint, you map out your attack.
Yeah.
And at the same time, kind of sequence your defense. And our version of the defense was, hey, you have to do this if this person can't. Mm. And if you can't do that, this person has to do that if that person can't. And so it goes down the line.
Wow.
And it's that's like why
plan A, plan B, and plan C.
100%. Gene, wow. I would make 4 to 6 different lineups every single match. Actually, that's not true. The last two matches, I made 12 lineups.
Wow. Okay.
Like because of the triads specifically, but then all of the rules associated with the grid, with the sport itself. Cause like I said, you have the 5 active athletes of each gender, 2 substitutes, and then the wild card, but
when then injuries.
Yeah.
The thing.
Of course. But then when you sub somebody in, they're done for the rest of the match.
Right.
Or I'm sorry. The person they sub in for is done for the rest of the match. They cannot go back in. So then it's like, okay, who do we sub in for the sub if needed?
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, like in our last match against the Aces, like we had four injuries, and we were down a person going into the ladder. We only had nine active players out of the 10, right. And we didn't have anybody that could sub in.
y'all got to go.
Yep, like, it was unfortunate, but I mean, that was part of the reason why we got spanked. But I think the Aces would have overcome us anyway. It just wouldn't have been that close or that distance. Right. But yeah, I think I answered the question of what you I did. Had to start with. Find female players first.
Yeah, that was not something I thought you would say.
What do you think I was going to say?
I don't know, but it wasn't.
Start an OnlyFans page.
No, it was, you know, just the idea that, you know, they're not out there, right? You have to go find them. Yeah. Like, but it wasn't that problem with the dudes, I guess, is what you're saying.
What's funny is in the past, it was never an issue to find guys. Mm-hmm. I had a bitch and a half time trying to find guys.
Okay.
I had five total gentlemen that were ready to go at the start of the season. And I needed at least three more. I ended up getting two more.
Yeah.
And one of those seven ended up getting injured.
Hmm. What's the commitment? Well, how many games? How many games are there in a season?
There's four.
Four games. And then there's playoffs, I guess.
Yeah, playoffs, just so you don't get attacked by the grid community, that we call them matches.
Right. Thank you.
Well, I don't personally give a crap, man.
No, it's I'm in the martial arts.
Oh, you're famous podcast. I didn't know what they're talking about.
We call it, you know, the jiu-jitsu matches. We don't call it a fight. We get in lots of arguments over the vernacular of exactly what it is. We got to be precise. I'm down with you.
Vita Coco. This argument brought to you by Vita Coco.
Give us a sponsorship. So what's a really good lesson you learned over the course of the season?
Tell people to do their jobs without remorse.
Okay.
Be direct. So I kind of played around with it, but I developed what I would like to consider like an alternate personality called Direct Dan. Dan, you have the data, you have the rules, you know how to create a lineup, create it. Tell us what to do. And if we get upset, that's their fucking problem. Mm. That was a direct quote from more than one of the players on the team.
Because we're here to do a job. Yeah.
Yeah. They're there to win. They have their opinions on how to create the lineup.
Right.
And that's great.
But it's not their job. Yeah.
Well, it's not their job. But I'm also the type of dude, it's like, I need more eyes. My heart rate gets high. And we all know the person with the lowest heart rate speaks the most logic.
Yeah,
and that was a testament a few years ago. Shout out to Laura Calicut, former Gainesville Wild player, for developing that adage within me. But they had their opinions, and whenever they said their opinions, like, well, that's good. Here's what we're gonna do because this is what the numbers say, and this is also what your performance was last time. So. We did have a slight issue with actually I won't go into it. It's inappropriate for me too. There was a small debacle and it came to a head a little bit and with one of the players on the team, and it was a misunderstanding on both parties, mine and the others. So I'll just leave it at that. But anyway, absolutely wonderful athlete in person. I'm excited to have that person back on the team next year. That was personally the biggest takeaway for me was be the leader that you are in the position to be. And I had to understand what that definition was. And thankfully the group here in Atlanta with me, which is six of our players, they were really, really, really good at keeping me accountable to that after I established it internally. And then, like, collectively, the team was saying the same thing. Like, dude, just tell us our fucking job and quit being a bitch. It genuinely got to that point. Gina's like, man, I really am giving them a disservice by being too not passive, but being too, oh, it's okay.
Well, I get it, man. I get it. You know, I've done that too. It's not the same, you know, it's not a sports league, but you know, a professional project where we're building something for a client, and we kind of brought together a team of 4 or 5 professionals, you know, have done this. Like, I respect them. I respect all their work, sort of like our dream team of local people we wanted to work with. And I found a couple of times this, like, just doing whatever they said we should do. But in my gut, I'm like, I've seen that go sideways before. We should probably not do that. I'm like, but they're the professional.
Yeah.
It what they do, so maybe we should just listen to them. And then sure enough, you get like a weekend and you're like, yep, that was not good. Now we have to fix this problem. Whereas I should have just, like, from the beginning been like, look, I'm managing this project, so you should do
shut
it.
Up.
Like,
yeah,
this is my plan. we should stick to the plan, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that, man. It's hard to do that, especially when they're professionals, you know.
Yeah. I'm assuming you're speaking like from a business standpoint.
Yeah, yeah, you know, web design project. But I think it's probably, you can probably find it's analog to any sort of, like, I think any sort of thing when you're trying to lead another team of professionals. And, you know, something I've found, that it's really difficult to coach someone who is way better than you.
Really?
I find that really difficult for me. Like I think the product that comes out of my mouth, like, winds up being a thing, but I go through lots of, like, little hamster wheels and worrying and, you know, second guessing. Like, it takes me a while to be able to, like, communicate, like, my perspective or my view or whatever to that person, because I'm like, well, they're way better than me physically, you know, like, why would they even listen to me? And I'm like, but you have to realize they're there. Like,
yeah,
you know, if they weren't going to listen to you, they wouldn't even come there in the first place.
Exactly. And that's where, dude, that's really cool you say that. So, you know, last time, may not have been last time, but it was maybe the time before, you had asked me if I ever had any issues with the high elite level CrossFitters listening to me in the water. And I still don't. I have zero problems. Well,
yeah.
There was one issue that occurred, but I will not speak about that right now at the risk of creating.
There's always, like, outliers, you know.
Well, I'll tell you the story when we're not recording.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, Griffin and Amanda. Griffin is games level. Amanda is high semifinals. Like, Amanda almost qualified for the games this year.
Right.
No problem listening to me in the water. Griffin meets me every single week. In fact, we're meeting tomorrow still. We've been meeting every single week, once a week, for swimming. And it's he never questions other than, like, if it's a feedback question. And then it's trial and error. And I will never be on Griffin Raleigh's level fitness-wise, ever. Unless I start taking a lot of Saiyan juice, or if I enter the I mean, I got to enter the anime realm to get to that point.
Yeah,
to start training
like
Master Roshi or some shit.
Well, they don't call him Thor for nothing, man. I mean,
that's true, man.
He's a monster.
He's an absolute monster. He is 100% natural for anybody who ever questions it, because I spend a lot of time with that dude, and. Like, little known fact, if he is to do anything, it'll actually mess up his physiology so bad he'll get put in the hospital.
Okay.
Like, he's the strangest person under the microscope I've ever seen in my life. But anyway, that it's so cool, like, to have the mindset of why would these people even listen to me? And then all of a sudden they do. It's kind of like, you know, think about coaching high school kids. Like, they're better than us, but they still listen. If an athlete understands that the person instructing them has a craft that they don't have, then they will succeed in the sport that they want to succeed in by failing as much as they are currently. Yeah. And having somebody who knows what they're doing and knows how to coach it, not really knows what they're doing, but knows how to coach what they're practicing. Doesn't matter if you're Job of the Hutt or David Goggins, like, you're.
Yeah.
you're going to get people to listen.
Yep. So, I mean, there's sort of like a level of trust that you have to develop.
Yes, that's huge. Know?
What kind of things did you do with your team to build trust? I mean, obviously the initial like camp and asking them how to, what do you say, be seen, heard, and felt or whatever.
Seen,
like
seen, valued, and heard.
Yep. Seen, valued, and heard. Obviously that goes a long way in terms of communication, but what are some of the other things?
That was the biggest one. But all of these guys were, okay, you heard me say it. Now, if you're going to really hear me, you better fucking show me.
Yeah.
So like,
well, sure.
Hyper conscious of putting that into action. The words on this team or this family, like words meant nothing. Words were just sound waves. Unless you said, I can't do this. Then it was like, okay, we have to move on by default.
That's a strategic communication.
Correct.
Yeah.
But when it came to everything else, it was just, I'm going to show you. And we showed each other, and not just from a performance standpoint, because that, you know, comes with the territory of sports anyway. Show me you can do it. Oh, you can't do it. We're going to move on. It was, I'm going to show you I love you. I'm going to show you I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to show you that I'm going to do what I promised I would do. Now, I'm still, unfortunately for some of them, I'm still dragging along from the monetary promises that I made. But you know, one of them is unaffordable, and I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it by the deadline, but I won't dive down deep into that. I've known this person for 7 years. So
yeah,
we homies,
it's tough separating those two pieces of it too. I'm sure it's hard to do
for him. It's not for me. It is.
Well, sure. I mean, you have a different perspective.
Yeah. The trust aspect came from listening and acting. I listened, then acted upon what I heard.
I like that.
And then that was 1A. 1B would have been telling the truth, being direct. Like, yeah, you're right. You came to this. You suck. You're not going to do it. We were like answering questions purely with honesty.
Yeah.
Or with pure honesty. Because, hey, Dan, like I can do this better than this person. Why am I not in it? Like the data shows that I'm faster. It's like, well, you're astronomically slower here later on in the match or early in the match. Like we have to conform to the whole picture and we have to keep in the realm of the rules.
Yeah.
So the trust aspect was mostly developed there. And I don't know, I get kind of emotional, right?
I mean, you should. I want to read something to you. This is interesting. Everything you were just saying made me think of this. I won't read the whole thing because it's long, but this is something that, well, let me set it up. So the trust aspect, right? That's so important, and it ties into communication. When I was training for my first degree black belt, I mean, I was getting after it. You know, I was working as hard as I could. And one time, and he didn't, my teacher, my sensei, he didn't like call me up in front of the class and tell everyone this. I mean, he told me in confidence, in the middle of class, just to me. It wasn't like he announced it to everyone, but he said, hey, you know, if you lost like 10 or 15 more pounds, I think you'd move a lot better and you're going to make it through this test a lot easier. And a couple of the other students heard that and they were like, how dare he say something like that to you? I was kind of like, he's the only one that should say it to me. Like he definitely should say it. Like I'm here to listen to him. If he tells me I should do this, like, if he tells me to go eat gravel out of the parking lot, I'm going to go start eating gravel. If that's the goal I want and he's telling me how to get there, like that's the way it should be.
Gain 15 pounds.
Well, it could have been. But this one, so this is guy who's another teacher in my sensei posted this. Do you know how to be a student? Are you the type who, when learning a new move, immediately ask, what if he, she does this or that? Do you talk while the instructors are teaching? Are you the type who, when learning a move, wants to go fast right away without focusing on the details? Are you the type who, during a drill, has to win at all costs? Are you the type who, when the instructor shows you a move, says to your partner, this is how I do it, what do you think? Or are you the type who won't come to class if your favorite teacher is not there? Are you the type who, when injured, won't come to class to just observe and learn visually? It goes on and on.
Can you send that to me, please?
Yeah, all those little lessons, man. I mean, it hit me when he sent that. I mean, he wasn't like, you know, sending me this to be like, are you a good teacher? He was just posting it in terms of like,
oh, of course.
You should read this to your students. This is good shit.
Absolutely. I mean, that's how, all right, Gene, if people, if we were all to approach things like that, just how you did, like, you know, there's a Jordan Peterson thing, or it was either Peterson, Huberman, or Jocko talking about like, don't take
all on the same podcast, probably.
Probably. Like, don't take things personally. Like, yeah. Take things with an with a degree of learning from them, or with a degree of adding to your own humility and growth.
That's like, it, though. But show me, like, yeah. Don't take the words personally. Take the action personally.
Yeah.
Like, if he says do it, and then you're like, maybe. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, you're there to get that type of feedback. You're there to listen to that to then become a better human being.
Yeah.
Like, why would you like what the hell are you doing otherwise?
That yeah. is true.
So that's yeah. but that leads into what you were saying, though. That's great. And it's great to hear, like, even at that level of like physical athlete, that somebody like that is just going to be like, Dan, you're the one in charge, you know?
Yeah. And that's
my job to try to figure out how to place people on the board. It's my job to go lift this shit as fast as I can.
Yeah. And that's something I wish I would have heard a little better over the past few years, but I guess maybe it's because I didn't have any of the athletes on the team here in Atlanta, the past several seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Now 6 of them are here.
Yeah.
And 3 of them are high level. 2 of them are really high level. And 1 of them is the elite pro level.
Yeah.
And the elite and the 3 really all 6 of them, the high level ones are saying, Dan, you're the fucking coach.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, we trust you. Like, Dan, look at the back of your damn shirt.
It says coach, bro.
No, it says die for Dan.
Oh, that's right. You told me that.
Hold on. I'm going to see if it gets
die for Dan. Look at that. Damn, that's cool. That's legit.
Were you able to see it?
Yeah, that was legit.
Like, they came up with that. It made me uncomfortable as hell. Mm-hmm. But
sure,
I needed the reminder.
You're not that type of person.
I don't value myself. Not one single bit. Are you fucking kidding me? You tell me to look in a mirror and say something good about myself, I'm going to say there's nothing there.
Yeah.
But I'm perfectly fine because I'm living my life for my wife.
And right.
This is also what's helping to get our life better. And so they're like, well, it just solidifies that more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, shit. But it's, I forget what I was going.
Where that's
was
a good lesson that. To pull out, though. I mean, that's a great lesson to pull out. So, you've wrapped the season. You didn't finish the way you wanted to. How are you approaching? I mean, I'm going to say 2024 because I assume it's yearly. So how are you approaching next season?
Sponsorships.
Yeah.
Sponsorships and tryouts.
This podcast was a sponsor of the Gainesville Wild.
That is true. And that sponsorship helped quite a bit.
Well,
so thank you.
Wish I could do more.
Well, it was plenty. It was greatly appreciated. Your logo got slapped on Corey Bible's jersey. Unfortunately, due to an injury, he was only in there for one match.
It's okay.
But there's a really good shot of his back, and it says Warrior Fitness Podcast on the back.
I believe in what you're doing, man. 100%.
Well, I appreciate that. I actually had a call yesterday with the Health Pod, Functional Labs. I strongly encourage. I'll send you a link for that.
Nice.
They do a very in-depth analysis of blood work, and it's expensive, but it's not crazy expensive. And the blood work you get done is it's going to be able to identify all your missing micronutrients. I'm not saying I'm not saying that as a sponsorship right now. It's not confirmed, but dude, that's the first step. We're taking sponsorships and tryouts for the Gainesville Wild. Like, we were the talk of the league.
Yeah.
Like, nobody knew what we had at all. Nobody had a clue. Even we had 4 players leave the Gainesville Wild to go play with, I'm sorry, 5 players leave the Gainesville Wild to go play with other teams. And they didn't even know what we had.
Oh, wow.
Like, the former owner of the Gainesville Wild did not know what I had.
Yeah.
And that degree of secrecy was pretty cool. However, I don't really give a shit if it were public or not. It's kind of like I have that Arnold Schwarzenegger mentality of, yeah, you can copy everything I do. You still got to beat us.
Yeah.
which, I mean, two teams did. But I will bitch just one time. Our match against the Sharks was stolen from us by a bad call by a referee, which was really unfortunate. But that's part of it. It happened to us for four years in a row now.
Happens during the Super Bowl.
Yep. But it's never just one call. However, this one took away 2 points and we lost by one.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. But yeah, you don't want to lose by a turnover from a coach.
No. But that's the initial lead in to next season.
You know what I meant?
Yeah, by our initial lead in for next season is tryouts sponsorships. I'm supposed to have one December 2nd here in Atlanta, but I have to cancel it. But I'm going to be hosting tryouts in Atlanta. If there's anybody interested in Columbia, Charlotte, Raleigh, Orlando, Austin, Texas, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Indianapolis, and Richmond, Virginia.
Little road trip.
Yeah, I'm not going to do like online tryouts because.
Yeah, you're going in person. Yeah.
But no, the season didn't end up the way we wanted. We ended up 2-2. One match got stolen from us, but dude, we were good. We were damn good. And everybody knew we were damn good by the end of it. And a lot of people are talking about us and the Aces next season.
Nice.
I mean, we had
lots to build on.
Yeah. They had this thing called the impact score, and we had three players in the top five every single weekend.
Nice.
And Amanda and Griffin were always top two.
Right.
Now that's a good thing, but also not a good thing because the way they do the impact score is like the number of repetitions you complete throughout a match, each player. And from a team standpoint, the lower impact score you have, but the closer average the team has across the board. So like if Taylor Stallings has 100 reps, she's going to be out there likely the most from a strength element standpoint.
Right. Sure.
And then a body weight, like if there's a match that's strength heavy and then a body weight specialist has like an impact score of 97, you know, that's a pretty well-rounded team.
Yeah.
And that's where, honestly, that's where the Aces were.
Like all season. Depth.
Right around. Yep.
Yeah.
Big depth right around mid 100, low 100s, high 90s.
It's like college football, man. You got to have that depth, make it for the whole season. Yep. Yeah, I imagine there's a wear and tear off of against the four different matches building up to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I remember the match we did here. I couldn't walk for a week.
It's amazing how much the adrenaline's so high.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
You don't feel the movements. You don't feel
so high intensity.
Yeah.
For sure.
If anybody out there listening understand, it doesn't quite grasp what adrenaline can do to the body and how you feel so exponentially drained the next several days.
It'll just
think about it's gonna get a little morbid, but think about one of the times you've cried really, really hard over something, a breakup.
Yeah, you're like exhausted. Passing,
yet you're just dead.
Yeah.
You want to sleep just for the next couple days.
It's a big adrenaline dump. It happens in like self-defense scenarios and things too.
I believe you.
There's a whole thing that you study on that. Man, that sounds like an epic season, an epic learning experience. Like, that's incredible. I'm a little jealous. I'm not a little jealous because I know that you've probably poured your heart and all your time into it. Because that's a lot of work. But at the same time, I'm kind of jealous.
Hey, man, we'll figure out a way to get you involved again.
Yeah. We'll count me in for a match. At least the same level sponsorship for what it's worth, but any other way I can help. Whenever you're coming to my neck of the woods, I can help connect. I know you know most of these guys anyway, the guys and gals that run all the places here. But whatever I can do, for the most part.
Most part. Well, I appreciate that.
Columbia doesn't change much.
I appreciate that. I really do. I would like to get to the point this season where everybody who provided a sponsorship, low and high level, probably like the level you provided and above, like we'll get you down to a match.
Paid. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Paid for, you stay with the team or whatnot. But what I'm going to encourage you, and if you're cool with it, is that video I sent you that kind of was the Florida Grid League made about us. I encourage people watch that to get a really good idea as to how we were. And kind of how in my opinion, like, I'm not going to take credit for it because it was not my original idea of what to build overall, because I was a little lost at the start. That video, that 6 minute and 48 second video, hones in perfectly, like, the experience and the fun and excitement that I would argue everybody on the team, myself, had. This was, I've been a part of Grid League since 2016, bro. This year was the best and most enjoyable year I have ever, ever experienced with Grid.
Yeah, you've been in it for a long time.
Yeah. Dude, it was so much fun.
Well, dude, that's incredible. I would love to come out to something, grab some interviews, some, you know, get to meet some of your team for the purpose.
Just tell me who do you want?
Podcast. I'll come to you. I want to see it too. I want to see you in action coaching.
Oh, well, that probably wouldn't be until the season, but that's fine. Well, whenever we have our camp.
Yeah.
Whenever we have we're going to do a camp every year.
Yeah.
And I'm working on, honestly, like, well, I would like to recruit a lot of, sorry, my hamstring's cramping. God.
That's the worst.
Oh, shit.
That's the worst.
Put this one on TikTok. God damn. Ooh. All right, we're good. I'm trying to recruit the majority of players, like, from the AGL area.
Gotcha.
Because, like, I want the AGL to grow again, but I just don't have the bandwidth to do it.
Yeah, that's too big with scope, man.
Like, because it will get to the point where it's going to come back, but I'm not going to be the commissioner of it.
Nah.
I can't handle it.
You can't do your team and the whole league at the same time.
Well, that, and I can't put my wife through that again.
Right. Too much.
Grid has honestly been a very big risk on my marriage.
Yeah.
And yeah. In the words of one of the Wayans brothers, homie, don't play that.
Yeah. I feel you, man. I feel you. You gotta take care of the most important parts of everything.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll just keep doing what I do, bringing my money this way.
Is there anything you want to wrap up with? You want to say?
I would encourage people look into Grid. Like, fitness is awesome, but if you miss that element of, like, wanting to play in a sport again, it's the community is that similar of, like, a CrossFit class, functional fitness class, what have you. But you get to just compete. It's like Church League softball is fun. But this is, like, I'm going to go and actually, like, stay in shape and get strong as F in my specific area that I want to do. And then fitness becomes fun. It's like, if you're struggling with a goal,
yeah,
find something like this to get involved with.
That's awesome.
And then you may end up wanting to be on a team. You do tryouts, you end up playing on the Grid floor, and you get to put the skill set to the test, and you get a shit ton of sponsors, a shit ton of product, maybe some money payout and whatnot. Like, they're announcing MVP and specialist MVPs. Like, and that's really, I'm here to help the sport grow. I'm here to help people grow.
Right.
And non-salesman tactic approach. Like, if people watch this more and try to understand it more, even like the Joe Schmo on the couch, they're going to love it.
Yeah.
It's just that interactive.
Yeah. It's fun. It's very fun. And it's like, it's not new, but it feels new.
Yeah. Now, I'm very thankful for people like yourself who have allowed me to develop into the leadership role, or allowed me to develop in a way to where I can have a leadership role like this. I'm very thankful for you, Ebe, the experience that you guys gave me out there, Heather, just that, the whole group.
It's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Lovely man. All right. Well, I'm going to leave it at that with someone paying me a compliment. I don't hear him very much.
Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, that was good, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go. 1, 2, 3.
job by our men. This is our final race of the evening. Where is my chance mark for the Keys to the Wild?
Okay, bonus flag is thrown. We are going to get 4 points on this. We are going to have perfect rest. Because you guys are fucking amazing.
Amazing. Dan threw the flag like we planned the whole time.
I couldn't ask for anything more than what just happened on the grid floor. It was pretty baller. Pokemon Go.